Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, complete recording, August 2, 2016.
Let's roll. I'm going to start with a roll call to my left, since that's where most of the people are.
Steve,
roll call.
Steve
Bradford.
Julie Hayward.
David Cohen.
Bill
Engler.
A motion on the approval of last June's meeting. Second. All right. Let's get right to our 2015-2016 financial overview. And I'll send it over to this mic.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to provide a snapshot of the unaudited, and I'm putting that in red, underline, unaudited financial overview.
Did you bullet this out of
it? I figured the red was big enough. I will go over the unaudited part at the end after we look at the snapshot, which I'm sure there will be a couple questions, but kind of just want to take a peek at this. This is the format that you're used to. You're going to see that we ended the year unaudited for revenues at 107 and some change, and total expenditures we ended at 105, about 105.5, a little less than that. Estimating a surplus of about 1.6 million. We'll come back to this slide, but I do want to talk to you guys about what unaudited means versus audited. So our fiscal year ends June 30th, 2016. Revenues earned must be recognized in 15-16. What that means is anything that was earned that we were anticipated to receive must be booked in that fiscal year. So I'll give you an example of things that are booked. We don't actually receive our last quarter of our subsidy for our pension subsidy, for our retirement subsidy. We actually booked that in 15-16 as money that we received, but we haven't physically gotten it in the bank yet. So that's what that means kind of in layman's terms. Same thing for expenditures. Expenditures received or incurred must be expensed in 15-16. This is a big thing that I tell everybody, that if we receive it in the warehouse before June 30th, we have to book it in 15-16. Anything that's received after that, then we book it in the following fiscal year. Incurred means if professional services were provided to us and that happened before June 30th, then we have to recognize it in the 15-16 school year. We have 60 days to reconcile revenues and expenditures. Normally that period is August 31st of 2016, which means that we still have things that we're paying bills, we're still reconciling things out. So these unaudited estimates are subject to change. Our audit fieldwork actually begins before that August 31st 60-day accrual period. It'll start the week of August 29th. So that's when our auditors come in and they start looking at everything. Normally, we have financial drafts before the AFR is due. The AFR, if you remember, is our report that we have to give to the state that talks about how we ended our fiscal year. So that's why they kind of get in August and early September to start that process of reviewing our books and our internal controls.
Well, I guess we'll stop and have some questions here.
Questions on what Ms. Michaels has gone over so far? I just have one. Real quick, on the expenditures of 500, other purchases, services, mm-hmm. Is that the 2.5 increase there, 2.5 million, but that was incurred because of pay down debt, or was that?
No, things that are housed in the 500 objects are transportation, it is our insurances, all of our tuitions that are paid, for approved private placements, for charter school payments, for students that are attending other school districts, all of those types of payments are made out of the 500 objects. Those are the big hitters. The big hit, or the number that you see there, the bulk of that was our transportation. There were a couple factors that caused us to go over what we anticipated. One of the things was with the IU provides transportation for some of our special ed runs. In 15-16, we had some of our heavy hitters, and when I say heavy hitters, some of the students that cost us a lot for transportation for special ed came back into district. So when Mr. Custer and I went over some of the budgeting numbers, we looked at that and we anticipated that we would have some savings because those students were now being bused in district. So we had some savings on not having to bus them to places that cost a lot. What happened was we did realize the savings on that, but we picked up some students that kind of took their place in that we have some high-costing students that we have to transport. So with that and looking at that piece, Dr. Gallagher, Jim Custer, and I will take a look moving forward and have that communication. But you also have to remember that that was Dr. Gallagher's transition year, so she would not have had that information readily available at the time we budgeted for it. So we had anticipated some savings there. We anticipated some other savings within our transportation budget that just didn't come to fruition. And Jim Custer and I are looking at that, you know, moving forward for the 17-18 budget. For the 16-17 budget, we did do some realignment based on the way that spend was going and some historical spend. So that number increased for the transportation piece. On the side of the placements or the tuitions that are paid out to other organizations, I have been having conversations with Dr. Gallagher, and those will be aligned as well. We're getting good numbers, and we'll be able to realign the budget that way. But those are the areas that caused the most hit to see that $2.5 million overage.
What are some of the transportation pieces that you anticipated that you said didn't come to fruition, which that caused the budget to?
We anticipated that our IU costs would go down. We saw a trend that it went from 1.8 to 1.3. We anticipated that we were going to get another $300,000 worth of savings. What ended up happening is, instead of realizing the $300 worth of savings, it went up. The trend went back up because, like I said, even though we brought some of the students back in district, there were students that also went out of district at the same time that we weren't anticipating.
Are you finished? Out of that 13 million, what percentage we can approximately go to transportation?
About eight.
8 million. Okay. Okay.
Well, I think that's a conversation that in September, when we meet as a board, that is going to be an agenda topic to be deliberate about how do we begin to look at ways in which to become more efficient. There are a couple of areas, and transportation is has been on the docket for some time, and we knew that we were going to bring that as a big conversation, and also transportation in terms of not just cost but service as well, as moving forward. And I have to say that in addition to the transportation that got away from us, I think that one of the things that I saw in my first year, more than I'm accustomed to seeing, is the number of tuition and out of placement that the district is paying for and providing those students with the opportunities that they need. But there are some things that systemically, as you look through our special ed audit, what they looked at and other areas that they didn't, that we examine ourselves, that this process is going to take us some time to put the infrastructure into place so that it's much more cost effective if the services are here as opposed to there, and it is difficult to be in a situation where you have no other choice but to provide that placement, and there are more than we would like to see. I'll say that in terms of that, we got to figure out how to stop that flow. But it's going to take us a little bit of time, but that did add to that. The transportation threw me off, but the number of conversations with Dr. Gallagher and legal counsel in terms of tuition payments were surprisingly more frequent than I would have liked that to be. And unfortunately, we have to provide that service to those students and that family. There was no other way around it.
How do we pay for transportation? Is that not a... I'm sorry.
Go right.
How often do we
go chair?
Is that not a monthly thing, or are we paying like quarterly or
monthly?
Was there a big hit?
Yes, let me take that back. Our normal Cheltenham Trans invoices are monthly. Mm-hmm. What happens with the IU is the way they report and the way they get funded is it actually gets, it's a deduct in our June unit pay from our subsidy payment. So what happened was the 1.6 that we had for our IU payment to them hit in June when our unit pay came. So that didn't get booked until later in June. Also, when you're seeing this, you have to remember we're in the first week of the month. So we're not paying bills yet for invoices that are coming in the previous month. So at any given time, you could have 2 months that aren't represented, even though you're in the June month, if that makes sense. So there was a combination of not seeing that number hit in June because we still hadn't paid May or June for Cheltenham Trans and the IU expense had not come through. The same goes through when you're paying some of the tuition payments. Sometimes those payments come in and you pay it at a one hit. Some of them are monthly. So some of the bigger hit ones come in at the end of the year and it's a one-time payment to those entities.
Ms. Michaels, I may be reading this incorrectly, but for the local revenues, so we budgeted $83 million approximately, but we collected to date $86 million. So should that be a plus, not a...
For the revenues, no, it is, but it's okay. A credit for revenue, so that means a plus when you look at it that way.
Okay, so looking at
if you saw that
as a deficit.
Yes, if you see that the number is a positive number in your eyes, that means we didn't collect fully. When it's in the parentheses, that means we collected more than.
Okay. Oh, because I was looking at that as the deficit. Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a finance person,
that's
so
okay.
I apologize in advance if my questions are stupid. But,
no stupid questions.
Okay. So this is the unaudited figure. My guess is it would change, could change, at once we get the audited. In fact, if we end up with a surplus, what happens to this? Does that go into the fund balance?
That is correct, yes. Yes, we can, during the audit time, there is an opportunity that if we make the decision to transfer into capital reserve, we can do that. That would be booked as an expense, so that would make our expenses go up. So say we wanted to do $1 million into the capital reserve, so that would make our expenses go to 106, because it would be booked as an expense as a transfer. So then it would then bring the surplus that would then go into fund balance down to $662,000 instead of $1 million. But there are those opportunities as we go through the audit on what the surplus is, if it goes into fund balance,
and it increases. In terms of fund balance, right? The board has to vote on putting into the fund balance and put this on the fund balance.
No.
Put it straight into.
We vote on the designations within the fund.
Yes, but okay. All right.
Yes, but not how it flows out.
It flows out. Okay.
And I'm not even sure, since you mentioned that we vote on whether you want to.
No, we can make that decision as administration.
Okay. All right.
So, sound like a recommendation in there somewhere.
I have one quick question. any more outstanding major bills for 15-16, or as far as you know, most of the items you've paid, any?
From my understanding, I think they're, I mean, she's reconciling out, so the August 12th is the last day that she's making the run, because we have to get prepared for the audit, so at some point we have to close our books. So I do believe that there are some outstanding reconciling items that still need to be paid, but not to my knowledge that there's any heavy hitters that it's going to cause us to go into a spin on anything. Okay. So not like a $1 million payment is coming in and it's not
like that. No. Sneak up all of a sudden. I guess my comment would be, I kind of agree with Dr. Marseille, is looking at transportation and sending kids out of the district. Those are the two main areas I think we can save money over the next couple of years. Any other questions?
This is more maybe a practical observation. And I know, again, this is unaudited, but if we end up, let's say, with a $1.5 million, and we've ended up with a sizable amount of surplus probably for the last couple of years, I would honestly like to see for any of that surplus, and the fact that already budgeted for, you know, 107, then to me, we could have maybe had a budget that was $1 million less, and have been able to run our district as efficiently. While we want to have some overage to make sure that we're not so close to the line, it also seems to me that we have overestimated what our budget was to operate from one year to the next. If that's a correct observation.
I agree with that. I think you have to be careful that when you're talking about budget, I mean, you do need to have some room. So to get it down to the tens of thousands, that's very close at what you're operating at. I think one of the things that you'll see, and if you remember, I'm going to remind you guys to when we budgeted for 16-17. A couple things that I did when looking at trend is that 2.9 million in local, I looked at what our collection rates were. I looked at what average increases were, and I smoothed those out a little bit as we were moving forward for So our collection rate was trending at the time of budget for real estate taxes, because that's the bulk of what the overage is. So it was trending at the time at about 95%. Historically, we've always budgeted about 94%, which that's a big difference when we're looking at that amount of money for our collection rate. So in the upcoming budget, I budgeted at a 95.5% collection rate, so I increased the amount of money that we're recognizing in the budget. What we ended up with this year is a 96.6% collection rate. So our collection rate for real estate taxes, believe it or not, is going up. The trend is higher, it's not lower. So I will continue to trend out that information so that we can smooth that out so it is closer and we're not ending up with these.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not at all suggesting we should be that close to the edge, but $1.6 million, even if we end up with $1 million, that's a lot over. And so I just want to make sure that we have a budget that really makes sense, that we're not taxing our residents.
I think that's probably relative in terms of the total percentage of the budget, right? Because even though I don't want to, I do not want to underestimate the fact that $1 million is a lot of money in terms of what that looks like. So there's this tremendous amount of the flexibility and fluidity you'll see in terms of the big numbers will probably be anticipated salaries that moved up or down that we didn't expect, and the other purchase services as we see that, where you're going to, during the year, might have some unexpected transportation that skyrockets you to that process. You have a student population of 6 to 7 students that come to the district come September 19th, and before you know it, you are spending close to $200,000 per student because of some of the needs. And with respect to that, those are particular areas where you will fluctuate tremendously, and you try to anticipate where there's not that much movement in fluctuation in terms of benefits or professional services or the 300s or the supplies, but in the salaries there might be could there be some hypotheticals that fluctuate the salaries up and down?
Yes.
Yeah. Because we might be in a situation where we're getting enrollment numbers right now
we only budgeted for a certain number of teachers. Our numbers go through the roof, like a couple of districts who are trying to figure out how is that possible. And then before you know it, we're coming, I'm going to Kara saying, I thought I needed two teachers. The numbers are telling me I need 4.5. I need 2.5 more teachers. How are we gonna make that happen? She's like, well, I didn't budget for that. We need to figure out how we're gonna make those numbers work.
I also don't want anyone, we overspent our budget.
Right.
By 1.6 million.
So they had a cushion.
Right. When you look at this, we missed our budget by 1.6. We had
just left up with the revenues.
$200,000 that we got just because the state finally, you know, aligned on a budget. But, you know, it's really the local real estate taxes that came in higher than we forecast. We bumped that forecast up. But as we'll talk about later, I mean, we'll want to make sure we take a look at that 500 in future budget. I will say that 2014, 2013, 2014, 2015, other purchase services I looked earlier was somewhere around 12.29. So we were anticipating savings and it didn't happen in the other way.
Right. Well, a little bit either way, we could have ended up with a deficit. You know, you have to, when looking at it percentage wise, it's only about 1% more. I mean, overall.
I do want to let you know too that on the opposite side of the transportation piece, our subsidy did go up by $500,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So
from the state,
yes, based upon the numbers that we had with our transportation.
Going out of the district.
While it does not reflect in this budget, you have to remember that we did not receive any PlanCon money, so there was a deficit in the state side with the PlanCon money. So if you add back in the PlanCon money, you would see where that additional money came in from the state for transportation.
The $500,000 because of the students who are sent out of the district, or is that just reimbursement for transportation in general?
It's based on your non-public students and your in-district students. So yes,
Bill
drives that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had a quick question. How did the state pay us more than we were expecting? Is that what I'm seeing there, 237?
Yes.
We're always happy when we get the dollar, and they gave us a dollar and a quarter of this. What happened?
If you remember, our basic ed number went up slightly. Our ready-to-learn block grant went up slightly. When we did our final reconciliation, because they only paid us, I believe, 11 payments of our Social Security payment, that's something that's getting booked, so that was additional money, so that's how that went up.
Okay.
And also the transportation subsidy went up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Any other final questions or comments? 1516. All right. Let's move on to the demographic enrollment projection study.
Okay. Yes. I think we touched upon this earlier last year, that we were looking to work with the Montgomery County Planning Commission to do a new demographic and enrollment projection study. So this is just kind of the first of an update of where we're at with that. We're anticipating that the study is going to be completed by this fall, so it is coming soon. As a part of this process, the Montgomery County Planning Commission is reviewing our school district characteristics, which includes analysis of growth patterns, population change within our township, historical in and out of district enrollment. They're also looking at the township housing activity. They're analyzing the different type of household types, single home types. They're looking at the developments, the rental properties, and they're also including historical building trends, looking at what type of homes are being built or structures are being built. And then they're doing an evaluation of housing in terms of population growth and development activity. This will all lead us to our district school enrollment, which they're using those two characteristics, and they're using it in a model called a cohort progression model to give us enrollment patterns. So this is just the first update of kind of what the study is about and how they're compiling the information. So again, we anticipate that this will be completed by this fall.
Yeah. And I have to say that I'm really excited about this study. From the sense that I feel a lot more confident with this analysis and helping to present to the board some information about recommendations as a district in terms of how to move forward. And I have to say that it's been challenging coming in and with all due respect in terms of other data points and trying to rely on those data points to give a recommendation from Lagner Marseille in terms of do we move forward with this? Is it more likely we think about this configuration and go here? And all of those for me are based on information that may not be as relevant to move in that direction. I told Kara that it was very difficult for me to sit down with her and anticipate enrollment growth and tell her these are the number of staff I'll need based on the fact that the numbers were just inconsistent in terms of those projections. So I'm hoping that with this analysis, and we want to give this a lot of airtime to our community, because some of this information will have long-term planning projections. And I'll give you an example. Depending on how we look at this, and we know that obviously, you know, after 5 years, you can't, the acceptable rate of error begins to widen. But if you look at this, this could play a role in terms of how we think about Elkins Park. This could raise questions that we probably were not ready to talk about and say, oh, we weren't anticipating those things. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to kind of take that data and take a look at it from a totality perspective. I think it helps us in terms of thinking about what we're gonna do with the high school. I think that's gonna be telling. I know we need to do something with the high school. Whether we invest in significant dollars in renovation, and some of those significant dollars in renovation might cause displacement of students in order to get that done, or we see trends where, you know, we see something going in opposite direction, and then we'll say that, well, maybe we can hold off for the next couple of years, and then let's do another demographic instead and see where we are in the process before we move into some of these long term. But I've found that when you have such a comprehensive analysis, it really helps to paint a picture in terms of how you want to move forward, and that might impact EB, and then it might impact the way we take a look at our K through 4 schools in terms of population, in terms of anticipated growth, in terms of configuration. All those are just things that come to play when you really have a good analysis. I like the fact that, not to disrespect other vendors, not to say they're not qualified, because of the fact that they're not residents or they don't know the community, but it's really good when you have individuals who know Montgomery County and who know the school districts and who've been part of that process, as opposed to someone coming in from some other state trying to understand our community and our makeup of that process. So, we're looking forward to giving you that information and providing enough opportunity for the board to unpack that, and enough opportunity for our community members to kind of weigh in on what does this mean, what does this look like, and what are the options we have.
Two of the factors with the County Planning Commission. One is that they have a county planner that effectively serves as adjunct or something like staff for the township. So that individual is very plugged into the township in terms of what's happening with development, zoning, and land use issues as well. And also, every single development proposal in the county goes before the county for review. So the county is aware of historically the data and the records and the scene in terms of what's been proposed. Even projects don't come to fruition. At some point, they do go forward before the county for basically their review and something effectively along the lines of an approval. So the county has that information as well for things that both have been proposed and not built, or things in various stages of the pipeline. So that will also, I'm sure, factor into their equations.
Thank you.
Mr.
Nelson?
I hate to say, but is there anything that you guys have seen that incorporates performance, and academic performance, as part of that measure? We are a school district, so I gotta imagine some scale, especially if we're really focused on the next 5 years, a large portion of the attractiveness of the district is going to be our performance, especially performance relative to others. So do you know if they even consider that as part of their analysis, or?
They don't have that as part of their analysis in terms of demographics. I'm not sure if they're, I think that's a very separate from this process.
Right, I mean, there are other factors like that, and also if hypothetically the tax structure changed dramatically, I mean, we do it from real estate taxes, and that could also dramatically change what happens going forward, but almost positively also don't factor that in.
In terms of timing, I know that we have the facilities plan, and I know that there was going to be getting together to look at that plan and make recommendations at a priority level. Are we going to be doing that in alignment with waiting for the results of this demographic study, which I would think would help inform?
I think it will. Yeah, I think it will. I think you'd always have to in terms of that process and think about how that impacts. Even though we've begun to put together that preliminary analysis in terms of facilities and 5-year facilities report that Dr. Bobby is finishing up in the next couple of days or next week, that this analysis will probably play a factor in the extent of, though we have it on paper, and it's good that we have it on paper, we might have to shift some things around based on that process in terms of the timeline.
So I would recommend that we kind of, if it's not too big of a gap, that we may want to wait to actually present whatever those recommendations would be until we can kind of look at the synergies between this report.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
any questions, comments? All right, let's move on to 16-17 budget status.
Not really too much to talk about here.
We're on August 2nd.
So are we over or under budget?
What I will say is the leader lab taxes have started to come in. People are making payments, so usually discount is our big hit time, so get 13% discount in there. Outside of that, we're just going through the normal routine of prepping for the opening of the school year.
Mr. Raymond.
I have a question about what you just said. How do you deal with the notion of the discount that's paid for paying taxes early or on time, and in versus once somebody gets past October or somewhere in there, there's then a penalty attached. How does that go into your calculations of the budget, knowing that you're going to have, people are going to pay, my wife made me pay already, so we can get that discount.
No, thank you.
Mine's in there, I see it. But how do you anticipate how much discount is going? How is that going to affect your revenue?
We usually do the analysis based on phase when we're budgeting, but we have done analysis where we take a look at trends to see the discount piece and how that evens out. By budgeting at phase, it kind of offsets the two. When people are paying penalty, because the penalty is stiff, and people do still pay the penalty.
Yeah.
So it kind of weighs it out that way, but we do analysis to see kind of that piece of what discount looks like, what penalty looks like, and what phase collection looks like.
So what I hear you saying is it's kind of based upon history, and then putting the best numbers forward, knowing that it's going to kind of even out over the course of the year.
Right.
In terms of because we had, when we first got on the board, Mr. Lilly, you and I think that we were like down in collections.
Okay.
That was only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think we were still tailing from the economic collapse that we had in 2009.
Okay.
It seemed like collections were down a little bit. But I have to pull out my budget materials. Does anybody else remember that, or am I just hallucinating?
So
they were slow, or they were down, or
I'm
not sure I remember. Like, one of the things that we don't usually see is that 95 to 96.3%, whatever it is, yeah, there's a budget for yeah, what local taxes should be, and then there's how much of that we assume is collected versus how much is traditionally there. So there are a couple of things that, you know, Ms. Michaels in the business office will have those assumptions on fairly important, you know, ratios, and but I don't know if we need to, but we haven't had that sort of history.
And then I'm not sure I understand the question. Are you asking
if more people, if everybody pays,
if everybody
in the discount,
pay, it's two numbers. Right. If everybody paid on time, and then if everybody paid with the penalty, somewhere in between,
then
what happens?
Pay with a discount.
So yeah. Well, the discount penalty, whatever you want to call it, it's either the minimum number or the maximum number. The minimum number is if you pay the first day to do, maximum if you pay the last day to do or later. So there's a built-in increase in how much revenue could come in. So I guess the question was, which number do you use when you're budgeting? Do you make the assumption that a certain percentage is going to be late?
No, historically how it's been budgeted is we look at total assessment that's in our township. We base it on the millage rate. We don't really, like he's saying, take it into the account of how many people pay in discount, how many people pay in penalty, how many people pay in base. It's on the overall value. Assessment value, and it's based on the collection rate.
So then your assumption is that everybody pays in time?
Not necessarily, because it could smooth out.
But that's
out
what the assessed value
is? Yes, yes, what you're saying is correct. And what I'm saying is it evens out based on the number of people that pay the 10% penalty versus those paying the 2% discount. And then the people in the middle is what the assumption is based on anyway.
Go ahead, Mr. Cullen.
Do you also in each year get taxes that are due from the previous year through collections? Is that included in the local revenue?
It is. It's not under, when it is in local, and you saw local broken down, we do split that out. So delinquent real estate tax collection is separate from our current real estate. So that analysis is different than when I do the current.
Right, but in terms of like, for example, this table, in terms of being rolled up, it would be rolled up into this table.
Yes.
But I also assume that that's generally not a large amount.
It's over $2 million.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And so our overall collections, and what that means, and we use that when we're doing our bond issuances, we have to provide that information. Our overall collection rate has averaged about 98%. Yeah, which is very good.
You kind of follow. Go ahead.
And that includes taking the analysis of current and delinquent into effect.
I can kind of follow up on that. People turn it gloomy, all these foreclosures all over the place. I mean, that can't be. I mean, if we're at 98% collection rate, that's got to be false.
Yes, we experienced last year, which we had that conversation as well, because there was some concerns about EIT collections, and our EIT collections went higher than what was anticipated. So
our foreclosures are not good for you.
That's what I'm saying. If you're collecting 98%, it can't be. But you know how people speak in front of the board.
When you say the collection rate is 98% or whatever the percentage is, does that mean one way or another, at the end of the day, 98% of people have paid their taxes? 98% of the original millage due was paid?
Millage due is paid.
Okay, so it actually, the gross amount that is paid could be higher than that, because the actual millage rate that is due does not factor in penalties.
Correct. But that's where I'm saying it does even out, because you're also not factoring in discount.
Well, the discounted rate is the original rate that's due.
No, it's not. It's discount, face, and penalty.
Okay. We got 2%. Ms. Craig.
A number of years ago, we hired a firm to collect delinquent taxes for us. Courtney or something?
They still do.
And just curiosity, to what extent, where, what was the threshold when the district felt like there was outstanding to the point to hire a consultant?
Was it just general practice?
Jason Salas, the treasurer, has been pushing a lot to try and say just let the county do it, but in most districts, and that was a big issue with the treasurer and all the local business offices, to say, do we let the treasurer do it, or do we just let the business offices?
But I think for us, there was a significant
dollar amount of delinquent taxes, which is why we did that. I don't think it was GIP, but I don't remember what the, because that was a while ago.
Yeah, it was before.
But it was significant enough that we felt it was financially worthwhile to bring somebody in, you know, to do that.
They get a certain percentage.
Right, yeah. I think it was one, yeah, I wanted to say 1%.
That's, it was draining. It could be a big box. I mean, if we're collecting 98% and feeling good about that, then we're still talking about over $2 million that is uncollected for a variety of reasons, including failure to pay, right? So this, so what I hear you saying is that, and the thinking and the work that goes into this is a bit like the legislative process or making sausage. It comes out, it works, you get what you need in the end, and it's really putting it together is
in a nice format. $100 million is never that easy.
No, I'm just saying, I'm still stuck on revenue. I'm not even thinking about the whole thing, but people stop thinking.
That was the worst analogy ever.
All right, let's say, you got to watch it here. Any other questions, comments, public? That's the case. Thank you. Once again, motion. All right. Second. All right. We're adjourned.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.